ask the owners of the venue if you can have open flames in the house.
When we got here, there was a sign in the kitchen that said no candles of any kind allowed. Rather than violate their rules, we called them and they allowed us to have some candles. But you just might want to check that first, because it's probably not the only rental house that has that rule if you're thinking of doing a candle flame retreat.
Flexibility. Retreat for adults. Yet why it is a good idea to really do the technique.
I found it preferable to be able to work at my own schedule as opposed to sitting for an hour, walking for an hour, sitting for an hour, because there are natural ebbs and flows to the visuals and your concentration abilities. So being able to sit for an hour and a half, walk for 20 minutes, sit for an hour, walk for half an hour was very useful.
In this retreat, our chairs were very comfortable. And so sitting for a long period of time was much easier than being uncomfortable on the floor or whatever. So it was easy to find your own rhythm without being forced to a schedule and being sitting comfortably.
On the topic of being a retreat for adults, I made a point of avoiding using the internet on this retreat, despite having no formal rules about what you should and shouldn't do in terms of when you're not practicing. And I found that really helpful to stay with experience, to stay with the visual sense, to not get lost in the usual mundanities of internet life.
Comfort is really key when you're doing the Fire Casino practice. It's not a practice that's conducive to pushing yourself, being in uncomfortable positions for a set period of time. So what we did is we would get up when we needed to, adjust position if we needed to, just made sure that we're comfortable.
Well, just I enjoyed sitting for long, long periods, moving every period just to be comfortable. But the benefit of sitting for hours is great for me.
Also, being able to talk to other people when you want to, being able to eat some food if you need to, being able to lie down or take a shower or go exercise at your own schedule, and to give everybody the respect that they can figure that out for themselves. This was much more a question of providing a container and a group that was conducive to doing a practice rather than hand-holding or forcing or dictating or any of those sorts of things. And so this gave a lot of respect for individual sense and autonomy. I personally really like that format for people who are up for that and have enough sense of themselves to be able to make use of that format.
Related to that, I think it was also really valuable to be in a group that you could trust would not be sort of abuse that flexibility and, you know, be respectful of other people's practice.
Having a good group of people was really key, really helpful to have people who, you know, were empathetic, willing to listen, understand what others are going through, offer a lot of different perspectives, really being willing to add a lot to everyone's experience in a lot of different ways. We had a really good group here. This is explicitly a co-working retreat. So we are all on this adventure together, a co-adventuring retreat. Rather than have one leader, we're all learning from each other. We're all helping each other. I also was very tempted by the internet and ended up asking someone else if they could just hold my phone for some periods of time, which eliminated the temptation to look at it all the time. I found that really, really helpful. And another thing I did as far as getting the sitting hours in, and I really wanted to get the sitting hours in. I'd been on previous retreats where I just wasn't able to get myself to sit as many hours as I had wanted. So having someone hold my phone was helpful, and keeping a log of the hours that I sat was also really helpful. Sort of encouraged me, made me aware of how many hours I'm sitting each day, and inspired me to beat my record and do more.
And to add just an alternate perspective, for me, at this moment in time, I don't feel an adverse relationship with my phone or the internet. And so to actually be trusted to have the space to maintain things that I desire and feel connected with was really freeing and helpful for me.
I similarly was nothing resembling digitally dark and often connected to digital devices during the retreat. And yet I found that my concentration actually still got quite strong. And oddly enough, I found it an interesting practice to be able to learn to oscillate from the one to the other and sort of build this skill of going back and forth, though I totally get why someone might just go digitally dark. I just wasn't able to do so, but I found it okay.
And building on that, it was nice to know that everybody is working things out for themselves. They're not sort of just going through some one-size-fits-all meat grinder sort of approach. It's a very sort of deep personal thing that everyone's doing. And knowing that that's what was going on for everybody and they were making their own choices, I found really useful keeping that in mind to respect what they were doing and to feel comfortable making my own choices.
I was not able to go totally digitally dark. I did need to check my phone every couple days or so for work. And one thing I noticed was that when I did that, I could look at the phone screen and get a really great casino from that, which would persist for a while. So I would break up my work period with just looking at the phone, closing my eyes and taking a minute or two to observe the casino from the phone screen. Hire Tracy for cooking.
For the last 3 days, we had someone come in and do our cooking for us. And it was great, actually. Wonderful food, delightful. And nice in those last days to have some time to deepen and tune a little bit more into the practice and not have to worry so much about feeding everyone or what we would make for lunch, or do we need more groceries, or any of those concerns. It was just a nice luxury that we were luckily able to afford and have someone that was great for that. If you're able to afford that and you know someone who can do that, it's a very nice option to consider.
Though I would add to that, that I kind of liked that we were all contributing to the upkeep regularly of the retreat as a whole and of each other. I think that did help bring the group together in a sort of fairly unconscious way, just that we were all sort of thinking about each other's needs by serving each other.
Tracy was here for the last 4 days, and she did a lot of the cleaning and dishes as well in that time. But before that, we had a rotating system where we would each sign up to do work about 1 hour a day, not every day, but as needed. So we had cleaning tasks and cooking tasks. One of the best, most helpful conversations I had at this retreat came out of that while I was assisting in the kitchen. I had a really great opportunity to talk and have a in-depth conversation about some things I was going through. So that creates that kind of opportunity as well.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that on previous retreats where we've done the same kind of thing, that some of the very best interactions happened while cooking together or washing dishes or...
And it's also helpful to remember that you're not just a visual sense, that you are an embodied being who does things in the world.
How nice it is to not have to suppress the visuals.
What I can say is that I really didn't bother with the casino. I also didn't bother with the mantra. It turns out that when I close my eyes, my mind's eye sees plenty of images. So it's just the way my brain is wired. So I didn't bother with all the technique of looking at a casino and following it and the waves of light and so on. I was straight into a cacophony of imagery. People are different.
I remember you had said that it was delightful that you could actually pay attention to the sense door, whereas on so many retreats you were told to repress it.
Yeah.
And that this was actually a real strength of yours, and it was nice to be able to work with the sense door that you were so strong in.
Yeah, pretty much every meditation technique I've done, and I've done quite a few, have suggested not getting into the visual stuff. And so I've been blocking exactly what I find easy. So for instance, I've been bugged a bit when people go on about vibrations and pulses in the body, and I don't really, to be honest, get them. And suddenly there they are, loud and clear in my visual mind's eye.
People vary a lot in how visual they are. I'm on the very low end of that. I have a very difficult time seeing things. I had a friend one time, and I could ask her, you know, close your eyes, visualize a zebra. Can you count the stripes? And she says, yeah, there's 14, 7 black, 7 white. And I was just blown away that someone's able to do that, that they could actually have it hold still and count the stripes, because I am so not like that. So for me, being on the other end of the spectrum, as far as visual ability, I found it really challenging in that I was having a hard time getting more detailed images. So ultimately, I just looked at whatever was there, which was, you know, color washes, you know, whatever images would just come up, which doesn't have to be anything very fancy or detailed.
I would also add that in a previous Fire Casino retreat, I really enjoyed not suppressing the visual sense and allowing that to be a important part of meditation, which is something that, whether consciously or unconsciously, I had been rejecting until then. After doing Fire Casino practice, I then got in the habit of allowing the visual sense into my choiceless awareness, just sitting style practice, and that definitely enhanced the practice thereafter.
That's one thing I've noticed from previous retreats is that after doing this practice, one of the things that persists is a much greater awareness of the visual field. Whereas before ever doing the Fire Casino, I would meditate and not even really notice the visual field at all, or rarely. And after doing Fire Casino, you know, even after some time away from it, I would just have a much greater awareness that there's a big field there to look at.
I find you get a lot more feedback from your visual field as an object versus just your breath or bodily vibrations, at least for me, because it can vary in terms of motion or structure or color or brightness or frequency or breadth of field or depth of field. So a lot of different variables versus just vibrations or pulses.
I find following staying with the nimitta, the casino light, helped me stay connected to curiosity. The wonder and awe and fascination of the evolving and transforming visual field was constantly activating my curiosity, which helped remain in the happening.
And the candle flame itself is an amazing object to look at. It's vibrant, it's alive, it's always changing. And, you know, we have this inherent fascination with fire. Especially us magical people tend to be really drawn to fire and candles and flame. So just something about using the candle flame as an object too can be really soothing, really healing, and really intriguing.
Yeah, me personally, I wouldn't listen to people who will tell you can use also a LED or whatever else, a YouTube video as a fire casino object. Use the proper candle.
I actually did find it really helpful to use a light sometimes in between using the candle, because the light is much brighter, and so alternating between a brighter and a less bright object has different effects. And sometimes if I was maybe discouraged or having trouble seeing a nimitta, having a really bright object would sort of reset or recycle something for me, recharge. So looking at the bright object and looking at that nimitta, that after image, was really helpful sometimes.
I also found it helpful to keep the fascination going even when not doing a formal practice. For example, looking out the window or being interested in light patterns on the dinner table when you're eating, just how light reflects off a glass, something like that. Just maintaining the interest in what's going on. Sometimes just taking nimittas or light, bootstrapping a brief practice off of just a bright light from a window, something like that, and having a little minute or 30 seconds or even less of closed eye practice whilst eating or waiting for the kettle to boil, things like this, just taking odd chances as they come.
I found that using the nimitta and focusing on the visual field helped me remain fascination when transitioning between eyes closed and eyes open, blending the worlds in a reflective way, that something somehow arising in me is reflected in everything around me. And so sort of blurring inner and outer and those the different transitions between everyday reality versus closing to the inner world, the way in which I relate to both of those, being able to see it all as reflection, for me was helpful in focusing on the flaming vulva.
It had to come up some point.
Magical object, just like fire.
The tantric doorway.
Building off that, there was a mention of inside and outside, which is a topic that came up a number of times. I don't really have any sort of intellectual strong ideas about that, but it was just a fun, useful thing to have just when it popped up occasionally, that this idea of inside and outside, perhaps not being as separate as you imagined, is quite provocative and stimulating and curious thing to consider.
Just on the topic of curiosity, I found it really helpful to do a retreat resolution, which I said every morning and every evening, which was just to be aware of curiosity, to keep it going, and to maintain concentration when I opened and closed my eyes to refresh. And so saying that, reminding myself of to make the best use of this precious retreat time, not waste a minute, just to remind myself of that every morning and evening was really helpful. Retreat phase arcs.
So the first few days of Fire Casino, people tend to have some initial successes. There's some excitement, there's some cool images, there's some neat visuals of some kind, there's a sense of newness and discovery. It sort of correlates with the early insight stages, particularly in arising and passing away stage. There can be an increased sense of love for each other or appreciation, friendliness, excitement in relationship, excitement about what we're doing and the possibilities. Then after a few days, for most people, there's a distinct fading, a sense, wait, where do the visuals go? Where did the nimitta go? Where was the cool effects? What's going on? What has gone wrong? Oh, wait, I'm irritated, paranoid, edgy. Why are all these images coming up? Why can't I stop thinking? Why am I sleepy? Why can't I concentrate? What's going on? I'm doing something wrong. And then for most people, somewhere around day 6, 7, 8, 9, sometimes 10, there will be a sense of coming into one's own, a sense of, oh, okay, wait a second, this is cool. Okay, now we're going in a cool direction. Okay, wait, some of the cool stuff is coming back, and yet even better, oh, wait, here we go. Now it kind of feels like I know what I'm doing and I'm starting to figure this out. And then cool discoveries start happening. People start getting a sense of why it was worth spending 6 to 9 to 10, 12, however many days it took you to get to the cool stuff and going, okay, this is why the entrance price was said to be generally worth it. But that's the natural arc of these retreats. And having done now a bunch of these, it happens every single time. And, you know, some people may be a day or two ahead or behind the sort of average curve, but that's just kind of how it goes. And so if you do this, just realize that's extremely normal. Doesn't mean it'll happen exactly that way for you, but just realize that it happens that way for most people.
I was one of those most people, and I had the initial excitement teaser of, yes, phenomena. And then I had a period of time of what seemed like the entry price of sort of just sitting with the visuals were moving and there was happening, although my perception was it was more mundane than it was initially. And just staying with that and staying with that and staying with that allowed me to work through some of the potential hesitations or self-judgments or build the capacity. And I did find that that stage broke open and there was an entire another realm of which was different than the initial excitement and was deeper and richer and more profound, although I was one of the people that experienced that pretty high entry price.